Ignore my collar. Karen tells me it's all out of place, so that has nothing to do with anything, as usual. Picking on me as usual. Okay, this morning I'd like to talk about perfection and sin. It's a topic that could take a long time, so let's see. Yeah, we don't have quite that much time, but I'm going to get, you know, a part of that discussion, because perfection of sin and sin and trying to be perfect and trying to separate ourselves from sin is something that is our lifelong task. One, to try to gain the idea of perfection, and the other is to try to separate ourselves from sin. I'll try to get my ideas across with just a few points this morning, a few things I want to say. Striving for perfection and falling short really is a part of our everyday life. It's something that we have to work on, that we have to try to obtain, that idea of being as perfect as we can in the sight of God. People try too often and fail to live up to their own idea of perfection, let alone God's. You know, and the newest weight machine the guy who screams and has a long ponytail, I forget his name, but he's always offering machines that will help you gain physical perfection. And those things sell, believe it or not, they do. We've had a few of them. Anyway, people are looking for that, trying to be as good as they can be. But for a lot of reasons, and a lot of them are our own failures, that we come up short of that. This morning I'd like to demonstrate some of the problems we have in our quest for finding perfection by using the songbooks. So, use a songbook, the idea of looking at those and trying to find something. So what I'd like you first to do, all those who want to, pick up a songbook. And what I'd like you to do now, okay, cool, is pick the number I'm thinking of. Pick the number I'm thinking of. 786. So close. Okay, did anybody get 450? 450 is give me the Bible. And that is real. I'm really happy that nobody got it. And that's going to go on further here. But the idea of give me the Bible. This is really how we are with God, or without God even. If we were, or mostly without God, if we were trying to find the answers without knowing where to look, without knowing where they are. We live our lives making decisions, thinking that they were the right ones, but doing it on our own. But God tells us that this will not work. We have to have His Word. We have to know what He has in mind. In times past, He may have overlooked that, but He didn't. In Acts 17 and 30, it says, "In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent." It talks in the, and I forget exactly where it's at, that I should have looked up, where it talks about God, you know, overlooking, you know, judging the Gentiles, especially in the Old Testament, their heart's good. And so He kind of overlooked that, but there came a time when God would no longer overlook that. So He can no longer say, "You didn't give me the number on, and let me know how I was supposed to be, where I could find the guidelines towards this perfection that He is offering." Can't do that anymore. We have God's number. We have what He demands. And God will not accept those who don't seek His Word. If you know, the whole, I think it's in Matthew, I forget exactly where it's at, where it says, Lord, I prophesied in your name, Lord, I did this in your name, and God said, I never knew you. Because often people try to do things by their own law, and God won't take that. Often we think that, you know, God will forgive us no matter what we do, even if we test his grace. The idea of a loving God could never do and put whatever thing you think is really bad punishment, that's not really what his book says. And we need that guidance. We need to know how we are to attain perfection in God's sight. We often, in doing this, we test his grace. But in Romans 6 and 2 it says, or 6, 1 and 2, says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We don't need to test God. God knows that to live for him, we will seek him. In Romans 8 and 5, it says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So we know. God has given us, he hasn't said, find all this on your own. I have it here. I have certain demands. I require these things. So you go fulfill those requirements. And good luck on that. He hasn't done that. The song, Give Me the Bible, really is appropriate because that's what he has given us. He has given us a roadmap, so to speak, that thing that can guide us on our way. No more mistakes, no more imperfections, no more sin. Is that what we have when we have the Bible? Is that what we, now that we have that roadmap, there's no more. So let's see. Get your books again. And this time I'll give you the number. 869, go. Okay, and what is it? Marching to Zion. That's what we hope to do, right? That's our path. That's where we go. So did any of you turn right to it? This is always a thing I'm scared to, because Karen turns about every third one right to it. But did anyone turn right to it? Then you failed. You did not just reach that perfection because you knew the number. You had that book. You had those instructions. But you still came up short. Did you? You probably, if you're me, you went to 753 first. Oops, that's not it. And then you went to 917. And then you came back to 850. And then you're really getting close. You got up to 874. And then you finally went to it. That's where we come up short if we expect, because we have his word, that we are perfect and we were good. We need more than that. If going to that number is what you have to do to get the job done, we're in trouble. If you answering that question by, I got it right to it, you have perfection. But that isn't how it works. Because every decision we make and everything that we do is subject to God's judgment, no matter how hard we try. We can never be perfect. We may, in this little example, by sheer accident of kind of the knowledge where things are, go to that number. But in reality, having God's word isn't the only thing we need. Just because we have the roadmap, just because we know the way, we can still come up short and not be perfect. In Romans 3 and 23, is for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. we know the way. We know where we need to go. We know what we need to do, but yet we still fall short. So to look at the situation, we possibly ever be seen as righteous. If we can't go to that number every time, how can we be seen as righteous? Even when we know what is right, to know every word of the Bible. You can read the Bible, go through the scriptures once every 3 months completely, and you're still going to fall short. Because even the demons know who Jesus is. Even the demons know who God is. Just because you know doesn't mean you have it. One way to know the answer. So everyone turn your books to 605 and mark it. Mark your books. And as you see, it is, I will serve you. Romans 3, again in verse 20 through 23, it gives us the rest of the story. Even when we know what is right, we can even know every word of the Bible. We can know what that roadmap is for us and still not always live it. There has to be a way. And that way is found in these verses. Verses Romans 3, 20 through 23 says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious to sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now turn to 605. Now how many went right to it? I'm going to assume that's all who looked, because you marked it. You have it. There's the way. So what is the answer? It is knowing where to look. It is knowing what that one thing God wants from you, that is the answer. Faith in God's Son, Jesus, is only through His sacrifice that God has made us perfect. And that really is the answer. He gives us the roadmap because that roadmap leads to His Son, whose sacrifice has made our hope possible. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, which I read this morning, this was part of it. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God will reconcile the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So let's really look at it. If we try to find righteousness by our own devices, we will search and search and search and come up empty. But God has given us the number, so to speak. He has shown us where to look. He said, the Bible is your roadmap. The Bible will show you the way. His scripture will show you where you need to go, where you need to find that one thing that really is the road to righteousness, is the answer for righteousness. And then he tells it to you. And that is his Son. His Son went to the cross, suffered, died for us, and in doing so has shown us the way to righteousness. Is that answer? God really has done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. This is the answer to find that reconciliation with God, that coming back together where we went apart in the garden crop. He has made a way through his son, and his son is the answer. If you need to accept him, if you need that answer, if you understand what that answer is and wants to grab a hold of it, we give you the opportunity as we have the song of invitation.